I don't know if you're like me, a devotee of Dad's Army. It's a very good series. It's quite gentle, really, and doesn't contain nasty elements, if you know what I mean. Last week was a replay of that funny incident when Pike, the young man, gets call-up papers to join, and they decide to celebrate his departure with something that he wants, and they decide that the thing that he would like most of all is a fish and chip supper. So they go to the restaurant for the fish and chip supper, and inevitably things start to go wrong, including, of course, when Captain Mannering takes the salt cellar to put salt on his fish and chips, the whole top comes off, and the salt in a great pile goes on his fish and chips, and of course it's ruined, even though dear old Mr. Jones tries to blow it all off for him and take the fish up and flap it around a bit. Anyway, that's by the way. I say it because salt is good for a flavouring. Too much salt, no good at all. We're best to throw it away, even though there are some tricks of the culinary trade, I know, to be able to hide that. But nonetheless, too much salt is not good. It has the opposite effect. Instead of bringing out the flavour, it can destroy things. Hence, a lot of the, invading armies to destroy crops and land completely would plough in salt, lots and lots of salt, to stop things growing. Too much fire in one place would not be good either. Jesus says, put it in a lamp. Yes, of course. But if you have too much oil, too much fire, things get alight and the house burns down. Now, where's he going with this homily? I think it's this, really, that I meet a lot of people, especially the children of Catholic families. Maybe you've even experienced it yourself. And I say to them, why don't you practice in it anymore? It's because we had it stuffed down our throats so much when we were children. We can't bear it any longer. We had to do this and do that. And I think there's something there in that little parable of Jesus, which is telling us, you know, not too much salt, my brothers and sisters. Remember, you've got to bring the flavour out of the faith. Not make it bitter and unpalatable for people by being overzealous, perhaps, in ways that we don't need to be zealous in. I'm always intrigued by the way in which the human mind always makes God too small, always wants to bring it down to our own human, naturally way of thinking. But our God is much bigger than all this. And sometimes the infinite, as he is, you can't see the edge. You can't see the edge of infinity. And maybe we need to remember that the things that are in God's hands are often the things we can't see because they're right out there with him, not right up here in front of our face. So gentleness, like the Beatitudes yesterday that we heard, meekness, long-suffering, all those sorts of things, the virtues which help, I think, to make our faith palatable. The age, glad to say, of forcing people in regimented rows to mass, whether they liked it or not, and the old syndrome of the Catholic father being terribly pious in church but goes home and is not really a very good example of Christian living. All mothers come to that. Glad those days are gone, really, hemmed in by a lot of what's we've now considered to be just a little bit over the top. We've opened the windows with Vatican II. A lot of oxygen has come into our faith. Not to be feared, but to be part of that wonderful stew which we make up, of which that proper amount of salt brings the flavour.